I am glad we're gathered here together this morning. I know a lot of people didn't feel safe getting out on the ice and snow, and I certainly don't blame them. And I hope none of you take unnecessary chances going home or getting back to your homes, but it is good to gather in the name of the Lord. This is New Year's Eve, after all, the last day of the old year. Tomorrow begins a new year, 2018, and I'm glad that those of us who are able to get here today can celebrate it together here in the house of the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning, in a way, is a continuation of the Christmas story. It takes place a few days after, and it's a little bit long, so it takes a little bit more attention. But it gives us a glimpse into the faith of Mary and Joseph and how observant they were, God had wanted them to do. And then their encounter with these two very unusual people, Simeon and Anna, and what that means. So I invite us to listen for God's word as I'll begin reading at Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and read verse 40. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I posed a question in the title of this morning's message: what happens after Christmas? And that might be different for each of us, depending on our own family traditions or beliefs. Some people can't wait to the day after Christmas to take gifts back to the store to exchange if the color wasn't right or the size wasn't right or maybe it was a duplicate. Other people, if they have time off, go to see all the holiday movies that they had not been able to see yet. Or some people simply just like to rest and do nothing for however long they have. Of course, it's a time to begin to take down Christmas decorations, maybe to do some projects around the house that you hadn't had time to do quite yet, or maybe you can take a trip and visit family members who live in other places, or even go to church. Yay, we're here today. But we have a lot of options as to how we can spend the time after Christmas. If Christmas is just a one-day celebration, then everything is really pretty much over on December 26th, and we go back to our normal routine. And if that's the case, then it's natural to experience something of a letdown, especially for those of us who work in the church, because it seems like we've been going nonstop since at least Thanksgiving, with the hanging of the greens, and then rehearsing music and parties and planning for special services and the children's nativity pageant and Christmas Eve morning service and Christmas Eve evening service. And after all that, it's hard to settle back into a normal routine. Most of us just want to sit down and rest for a while. But such a build-up to Christmas means that that kind of letdown is almost inevitable. We might compare it to a balloon. You can only blow up a balloon so far and so big until finally it pops. And maybe some of us feel that our Christmas balloon has about popped by now. Now, the church calendar is supposed to keep this kind of letdown from happening, but too often we let the world govern Christmas more than church tradition. Because we know all that before Christmas, that was Advent. Those four Sundays were supposed to be a time of spiritual preparation as we lit each one of these candles, candles of hope and peace and joy and love, and then the candle of Christ. And Christmas really is supposed to begin on December 25th and then go for 12 days. You know, the 12 days of Christmas go until Epiphany, January 6th, when we celebrate the coming of the wise men. But for most of us, Christmas is over and done with on Christmas Day. We get Christmas out of the way so we can prepare for that other great cultural holiday coming up, New Year's. Now, if we spread Christmas out over 12 days, maybe there would be less of a letdown. But we all know that's never going to happen, is it? That ship has passed, unfortunately, the 12 days of Christmas. But however we celebrate Christmas on one day, or maybe try to stretch it out a bit, maybe we shouldn't try to be in such a hurry to pack Christmas away, to put Christmas behind us, to get back to the status quo. That's true. I don't think any of us probably could keep up the breakneck pace of Christmas the year round, but still, Christmas should change our lives somehow because of everything we've been through. All the songs and the prayers and the celebrations and the worship and just rehearing the Christmas story. If we haven't been changed somehow for the better by Christmas, then we really should wonder why we go through all that bother. Or think about a family that has just welcomed a new baby into the world. Can you imagine them saying something like, "Wow, I'm glad that's over. Now things can get back to normal around here." You'd know they're either very naive or very foolish. Things can never get back to normal after the birth of a baby. Life is changed immeasurably by the birth of a child. How have our lives been changed by the birth of Jesus? Are we just going to go back to normal, or have we been changed, even in some small way? Today's scripture is about a family whose lives didn't go back to normal after their child was born on Christmas. The lives of Mary and Joseph and the whole world were changed by what happened in that stable in Bethlehem. And we meet two characters that are not mentioned anywhere else in scripture: Simeon and Anna. And their lives were certainly changed by the baby Jesus. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph were careful to do everything that they were supposed to do according to Jewish and biblical law and tradition. At the age of 8 days, they brought him to be circumcised, and that's when they gave him the name that the angels had told both Mary and Joseph that they were to give this child, the name of Jesus, the very name meaning Savior or God saves. And then Mary went through the purification ritual as all new mothers did. And they went to the temple and they offered the required sacrifice, in their case, of 2 doves or 2 pigeons. And that shows that they were of fairly modest means, because wealthier people were asked to sacrifice a lamb. But a pigeon, a couple pigeons or a couple doves were okay too. But that was all. Then they went and they presented Jesus in the temple and they dedicated him to God. And it was all meant to express their thanksgiving and their acknowledgement that every child was a gift of God and you needed to thank God for that birth. It wasn't that long ago that the first place parents would take their baby after the baby was born, after it went outside the home, the first place was to church, often for the baby to be baptized. And it's still thrilling for me to hold a tiny infant in my arms and baptize that child. But nowadays, though, it seems often that the birth of a child can separate families from the church. Maybe the mother and father don't come from the same faith background, and so they disagree over what church they're going to attend and which church they'll raise the child in. Or they say, well, we'll let this child decide for themselves when they're old enough what church they want to go to. But unfortunately, if you wait that long, if you don't let a child be in church during the formative years of their lives, then so often the church they choose is no church at all. We have very few stories about Jesus' childhood in the Bible, really only 2. This one, and then the one that happens when Jesus is 12 years old, and they revisit Jerusalem, and they go to the temple, and then everyone else leaves, and Jesus remains behind in the temple, talking to the teachers of the law, and all of a sudden Mary and Joseph discover, wait, where's Jesus? I thought you had Jesus. No, I thought you did. And then so they have to rush back and find him finally. Kind of a humorous story. But it's interesting, isn't it, that both of these stories, the only 2, they both take place in the temple. Maybe one way that Christmas can change us is to give us a renewed commitment to the importance of church and the importance of worship for us and our family. Now, I know I don't need to tell you all that. You braved that bad weather to be here this morning, so your commitment is great. But so often it's easy to use small things as an excuse to say, well, I don't think I feel like getting up and going to church today. But it's important that we be here. Mary and Joseph decided from the very beginning that Jesus would be raised in the church. Of course, technically not the church, the synagogue, the temple. But I think it's good for us to recommit ourselves to our own spiritual growth and the spiritual growth and training of the children who are in our care, whether it's our own children or grandchildren or they're in our Sunday school class or just the children here in the church. Because the story of Jesus has the power to change lives. And that's important to be reminded of that in church. And then suddenly in the middle of this story, out of the blue, these 2 people announce that the coming of this child has changed their lives and that they will never be the same again, these folks, Simeon and Anna. Simeon says, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. God had promised Simeon, we don't know why, but he'd promised Simeon, this old man, that he would get to see the Messiah with his own eyes before he died. I wonder, how long had he waited? Was that just a few weeks, a few months? I think it must have been a long time, maybe years. But now finally, that promise had come true. And now he's saying, I can die in peace because God kept his promise. And I've seen God's salvation in this tiny child of Joseph and Mary. And Simeon not only got to see the child, but he got to hold the Son of God in his arms. The hope of human salvation. How could you hold the Son of God in your arms and not be changed? And how can we, who've gone to Bethlehem, to the stable, these last few days, We've seen that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. How could we ever be expected to experience life in exactly the same way again ourselves? Because we've been changed, as surely as Simeon was changed when he held that little baby in his arms. And Anna, too, the prophetess, she'd had her lifetime of waiting rewarded. It says year after her husband had died, she'd waited in the temple day and night, fasting and praying, decades and decades. And now she too has seen this child, and she can't wait to leave the temple and go out and tell everyone, just like the shepherds did, that God's salvation, the Redeemer of the world, has finally come. The sight of that tiny infant being dedicated to God by his parents in the temple changes the lives of these two people. Now, does that say anything to us today? Ewan MacDonald was a great Scottish preacher. He served as a chaplain during World War II. He was known as Padre Mac. He was captured by the Germans, and he ended up as a prisoner of war. And he became a chaplain to the American prisoners who lacked their own chaplain. Well, early one morning, he was shaken awake by an American soldier in his barracks and told, "The Scotsman wants to see you. It's terribly important." So MacDonald ran to the fence that separated the British and the American camps, and a prisoner there named McNeil, who'd been in touch with the BBC through the underground, told him in Gaelic, "They have come." MacDonald ran back to the camp, and he woke up the other prisoners, and he repeated to them again and again, "They have come! They have come!" The men began jumping up and down. They were hugging each other. They ran outside and rolled around on the ground for joy. It was June 1944. Normandy had been invaded on D-Day. Now, the Germans thought these prisoners were crazy. They were still prisoners. Liberation wouldn't come for them for almost another year. Nothing outwardly in their situation had changed, but inwardly, they knew everything was different. Victory was assured, and it was coming closer every day. And life in that camp would never be the same. Simeon and Anna knew that salvation was at hand. They wouldn't live to see the baby Jesus grow to become an adult and redeem God's people on a cross just a quarter mile or so away from that temple where they had seen him dedicated. Just what we've seen at Christmas and what we celebrate at communion or here in worship every week, does it give us the hope and peace that Simeon and Anna found in the temple that day? Does the good news of Jesus' birth, his life and death and resurrection, does it give us the joy and confidence that those prisoners found when they heard those words, "They have come"? We go back to our normal routines after Christmas, yet everything has changed. Emmanuel has come. God is with us, holding us fast, sharing our daily grind, loving us, caring about what happens to us, how tired we get, what we accomplish. He cares about it all. This is the real meaning of Christmas, that God has broken into our ordinary, everyday lives with something new, with the possibility of transformation. The whole world has changed. For sure, it looks like the same old world on the outside. The world looks the same on the day after Christmas as it did on the day before, pretty much. Soldiers are still marching in the city of Bethlehem, the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. We are still fallen sinners, but we are forgiven. Emmanuel has come. And so we'll still write letters to legislators and protest oppression and shelter the homeless and feed the hungry. Those efforts still go on, but we know we're not alone. God is with us. And yes, we'll still have all the bad habits that we'll resolve to change in the new year. And yet everything has changed because Emmanuel has come. Old problems must still be struggled with and overcome. Dishes still have to be washed, families fed, homework done. And yet, our Redeemer has come. He has redeemed us from the consequences of sin and death. He's walked through death to new life, and He has the power to share new life with us. The gift of the Christ child is life, here and now, and life to come. So let's not be too quick to put Christmas behind us and return to the old routine. Let's take time to savor all of its meaning. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Light, life, joy, peace. That's what happens after Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we go from this place this morning and into the rest of our day and the rest of our week and the rest of our lives, may we not forget that the world has been changed because Christ has come. And we have been changed because Christ lives in our hearts. And let us live as your changed, your reconciled, your redeemed people, that we might change the world. Amen.